Hello and welcome to Formation. This is our weekly conversation for followers of Jesus. My name is Shannon Moore, and I'm here with
your friend, Renee Hoke.
And I'm so glad that we're friends, Renee.
Me too.
I cannot believe it, but it is the season of Advent. Thanksgiving really snuck up on me. I was so surprised to realize that Thanksgiving was here. And
I think for the life of University Christian Church, the celebration in October of our 150th anniversary was such a reason for focus. And then it just seemed like,
yeah,
it's Thanksgiving.
I forgot there were other Sundays after that we had to plan for. But we have, and we do.
Love Advent.
I love Advent, too. And so what we're going to do for the 3 weeks that we have available, Advent is a little short this year because of where the calendar falls. And so the fourth Sunday of Advent is actually Christmas Eve. So we'll have three weeks in this series we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about some Advent hymns, the first two sessions, and then we're going to look at some Christmas carols on that third session. But I'd love to hear what you think about the difference between Advent hymns and Christmas carols and how you think that affects our worship during this time of year.
Oh, I think there's a very particular setting the stage that happens with Advent hymns that slows us down, that focuses us on the promise that people were waiting for generations, mm-hmm. that the Messiah was coming. And so there's this kind of a sense of in Advent longing, waiting, listening, mm-hmm. a lot of anticipation that happens with. And the hymns help us with that mood. Mm-hmm. Now, it means when the church tries to hold to that season of preparation before the birth of Christ, that we are in conflict with what's going on in our culture.
Yep.
Which now, as of 2023, everything's decorated for Christmas the beginning of November. I wonder how far back it's going to creep. But anyway, we come and we sit during worship, especially in a more traditional service, and listen to those songs preparing the way for Christ. And it seems like everybody else has already opened their presents and, you know,
right. and
moved
for,
on.
For
we
those, yeah.
were left behind, kind of.
For those of us who work in church world, it's a real challenge to stick to that liturgical season of Advent. And I don't want to say fought, but I have experienced this throughout my ministry because people want to sing Christmas carols.
Christmas carols.
Because it's the happy season.
Let's
and it's the joyous
Jesus
season.
Here.
It's the merry season.
Yeah.
And we want to come to church and sing these songs that we love so much. And then when a church does use Advent hymns, they're usually dark. Slower. Many of them are in a minor key.
That's right.
And it sets a different tone. And one of the things that I always try to remind myself of at this season is that not only is this about preparing for the birth of Jesus, but we're also preparing for the second
right.
coming, whatever that looks like or whenever that's going to be. That just as the Israelites and the Jewish people were waiting for a Messiah, before Jesus was born, we were in a season of preparation, a long season, just like they were.
Yes.
Expecting, you know, the early Christians thought it was going to happen quick, and it didn't. And so we find ourselves in this similar position.
A little bit of impatience. Come on,
yeah.
let's get on with
yeah.
it. So,
interesting.
I think, though, because I did not observe Advent until I was in my 30s,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't part of the church that I grew up in, I think there's some richness to slowing ourselves down.
Mm-hmm.
That there's the conflict with our culture, but there's also an escape from our culture
right.
that allows us to be centered and reverent. And so that's very attractive to me.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And so we're going to take a break for just a moment. But when we come back, we're going to look at a couple of Advent hymns.
All right.
The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God's doing in the world. We invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11. Simple worship in the chapel at 9:30. Visit our 1010 service in Walker Hall. We're a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize that we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on the faith journey. We seek to practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Explore our programs and upcoming events at www.universitychristian.org. Don't forget to stay connected with us on social media.
We are back talking about the popular topic of Advent.
Advent. we're trying to sell Advent to right. our listeners. Give it a try
Give
if
it
you
a
haven't
try.
Before.
That's right. So we're going to look at a couple of Advent hymns today. And the first one I selected, and it's called Come, O Long Expected Jesus. Take a listen to this clip.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us.
What do you think of this hymn?
I love it.
What do you like about it?
I like the melody. I like the, and the pace is a little bit more.
Yeah.
You think it's not quite as mournful. It's a little more.
Right. It's not as mournful.
Energized.
But I don't love this tune.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. As a matter of fact, I've been having a text argument with one of my friends, a clergy colleague at another church, and he loves Advent, Christmas. Like, he starts in October just, you know, getting ready. And he sent me some of the lyrics to this hymn not too long ago and said, don't you just love this hymn? I wrote back, no.
What don't you like about it?
I love the text, these words, you know, born to set your people free from our sins and fears, release us. The text, I think, is really great. I don't love the melody. There's something about the melody that just does not click with me. It does sound like Advent to me. It's something that But I wanted to choose it because it's not really one of my favorite.
I thought you were bringing your favorite. Well, I guess I like it.
Well,
it may be one of the Advent hymns that I like
that
the
you
most.
Like the best.
Yeah.
And also, we can sing that tune throughout the year. And I don't think it really, I don't know, there's something about it that's just not my favorite tune. But I think it's an important hymn. Will you read, please,
yes.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 7.
And I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts.
So Charles Wesley wrote this hymn. We wrote the words to this hymn, and that was the verse that he had studied upon when he...
That was his inspiration?
That was his inspiration for this. And one of the articles that I read said that this hymn is part, I want to read this verbatim, part of the fabric of preparation for the incarnation, that it is so used throughout the Advent season in so many churches. It just has become part of the fabric of Advent for mainline churches. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think that probably is fair. Why don't you just read the words?
Come, O long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us, Christ in whom our rest shall be. You, our strength and consolation, come salvation to impart. Now this is interesting. Dear desire of many a nation, joy of many a longing heart. We changed this in our hymnal. If you look at older hymnals or other denominations' hymnal, it says, dear desire of every nation.
Ah.
And that verse talks about all the nations.
All the nations.
So I think we maybe...
But it didn't have any shaking in there.
No shaking, no. But I think maybe we were trying to be a little more politically correct
yes.
in our hymnal here. but the interesting thing about this is that it is a prayer. It's a petition. And one of the things I learned in seminary about prayer is to not be sort of weak in the prayer, just if you would only do this, but to use strong words. And this one, I mean, it's come, release, let us, bring, rule, raise, all these strong words.
Bring it on, words. Jesus.
Yeah, do these things. Yeah. We need it. We're ready. We're waiting. We're here. So that I do
so
like.
So there's some impatience in there that I kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Rule in our hearts alone. Raise us to your glorious throne. That's how the...
Well, I'm sorry you don't like the melody.
Yeah. And I could probably find
but
another...
But I like the energy of it.
Yeah.
Can we say that? That
yes.
That.
That it's not as sad sounding as some
yes.
of our Advent hymns. So...
So the,
right.
the one
yours?
That I want to lift up is a plain song hymn.
Oh.
It is Creators of the Stars of Night. Creator of the Stars of Night.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like that?
I do. It's kind of funky.
Funky? I didn't. That's not why I picked it, but let's listen to it, and then you can be the judge of whether this is funky or not. We'll listen to a little of Creator of the Stars of Night. I love this. I love this hymn. I think because it has that chant kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up plain song. I wanted to understand a little bit more about plain song, which I discovered that's what this hymn is. Is about as old as Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It was the earliest way the church learned to sing. And sometimes there would be kind of a call and response, a leader, and then the people would respond. There was a different way for writing the music. It's not a style of music we hear a lot in our Protestant mm-hmm. worship services. But it has, I think, just this lovely, haunting...
you can almost hear the monks
yes.
singing it and echoing through the abbey.
And what I learned was that, of course, plain song would have been in Latin, but it developed in the very first few centuries of Christianity and also reflects what music would have been in the synagogue and also has some Greek influence.
Mm.
So it has a very international kind of root, the music does. And the words are very important. The words would be human voices with no instruments. It really is very contemplative, right?
Yes.
That's what we think of
mm-hmm.
as contemplative. And the words, Creator of the Stars of Night, your people's everlasting light, O Christ, Redeemer of us all, we pray you, hear us when we call.
Mm.
So we have Christ... Not anticipation in this one, because this is a prayer directed to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from an interesting location in Scripture. It comes from Philippians chapter 2.
Okay.
Will you read that? And
sure.
It's about the descent of Jesus to earth and the ascent of Jesus in his glory.
Okay. And you said 5 through 11, right?
Yes, yeah. Please.
This is Philippians 2, starting at verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
So we think these words were part of an early, early Christian hymn. I think it's great that hymn influenced this plain song,
mm-hmm.
That him in words in Paul's writing influenced or is wrapped around a plain song hymn, so that I think it's all very ancient.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very ancient.
It does.
The the biblical scholars believe this was a hymn that existed that Paul would have known, that was existed much earlier mm-hmm. than Paul's ministry. Paul would have known it. He took a few liberties with some of the words, it turns out. That's Paul for you, though,
there
right?
There goes Paul again.
He had no hesitation. Also, biblical translators aren't quite so convinced that this was an early hymn. But what happened to influence how the scholars influenced it, in most of the newer translations of Scripture, you will see it written in verse. Did you bring your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, so even the way it is written in the text reflects this understanding of this hymn and this idea of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus, and then the resurrection, you know, Jesus coming down to earth and then returning in all of his glory mm-hmm. is reflected both in the passage and this beautiful prayer. I wonder, do we usually sing Creator of the Stars at Night some point in the Advent season?
I'm not sure.
It may not be as popular, but it would be great for everybody to find it on Spotify and listen to it, because it feels mysterious. Mm-hmm. Incarnation is something hard for us to understand. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that,
and the second coming is hard for us to, preparing for that, it's hard for us.
That's right. So it to me, it's very appropriate way to consider these words and hear this tune and understand the story that we prepare to tell every year at this time. I like having some hymns that are very special. Mm-hmm. That really won't be heard any place else
or anywhere else. I have an idea.
Yes.
And we're going to need your help, to you, our millions of listeners. Let's contact Mariah Carey and get her to sing an Advent song that will be just as popular as All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, my gosh.
It will put Advent at the top of the charts. So let's get out there, everybody, and contact Mariah Carey. Or maybe she's listening. Mariah, if you're listening.
I think
record
now.
Record Creator of the Stars at Night.
I think
it'll
now.
It'll be a hit.
Now we become delusional.
Well, thank you for joining us. We will be back next week. If you want to contact us, send us an email. formation@ucccftw.com. Take care.
Happy Advent.